Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. This is the Mahamantra. How many of you chant Mahamantra? Very good. And how many of you don't chant Mahamantra? Very good. Those who don't chant Mahamantra, make it a point to chant Mahamantra. Right? Why? Because when you chant Mahamantra, it brings all kinds of auspiciousness. Your life becomes full of auspiciousness. And all the difficulties, all the sufferings, all the miseries automatically disappear when you chant the holy name of God. The sufferings are caused by, our sufferings are caused by our sinful activities. When you commit sinful activities, we become liable to punishment. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki, Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai. Why do we suffer? We suffer due to our sinful reactions. What are the sins? Sins are wrong actions. Like in simple words, we can say sins are like the criminal activities. So when you commit a crime, what happens? When you commit a crime, do you get rewarded for that crime? For crime, you get punishment. For our sinful reactions, we get punished. Now, is punishment relishable or miserable? When you commit wrong actions, we are punished, and those punishments are actually sufferings. So, why the crimes are met with punishment? Why the criminals are punished? Because the judge loves to see them suffer. The government wants to torment people, torture them. That's why they are punished. Is it so? No. Why they are punished? They are punished to remind them that they should not do those things. Did you see how a dog is trained? Have you seen? When the dog does something wrong, he is beaten. And when he does something right, he is given a cookie. So this way, the dog learns what to do and what not to do. Similarly, we are also subjected to that kind of treatment. When you do something wrong, we get a... Didn't it happen when you were children, when you were in school? We did something wrong, what did the teacher do? He chastised us. Sometimes he even beat us up. And when he did something good, then he rewarded us. So in this way, we learn what to do and what not to do. Especially if we are good boys. If you are bad boys, then you continue to do whatever was wrong in spite of being punished. So similarly, in this nature, in the arrangement, in the divine arrangement of this material nature, when we act in a proper way, we are rewarded, and when we act in an improper way, we are punished. But the purpose of punishment is to remind us what not to do, and through the rewards, we get to understand what we should do. And when we do the right thing, when you do the right thing, then we are rewarded in the most wonderful way. And what is the right thing? What is the rightest possible thing? The rightest possible thing is to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Isn't it? This world is, whose world is this? Who is the king? Who is the supreme lord of this world? The supreme lord of this entire creation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very good. Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now he is the supreme proprietor, he is the supreme controller. Therefore, we should be submissive to him. Like if you go to some place, then don't you follow the authority structure of that place? Say for example, I came to Australia. Now when I come to Australia, I'm expected to follow the rules and regulations of Australia. Say, in Australia, the cars are meant to drive in one side of the road. And although in America, the cars are driven on the other side of the road, but when I come to Australia, even though I may be coming from America, can I say, well, I'm an American, so I will drive from that side of the road? Can we do that? Shouldn't do that. When we come to Australia, we have to follow the rules and regulations of Australia, the law of Australia. And that is the meaning of accepting the authority structure of this country. And similarly, this is the kingdom of God. Is God real or he is just an imaginary character? How many of you think that he is just an imaginary, fictitious character? No one. Something must be wrong with you. Or you are not raising your hand out of fear of me. It's really surprising because today's world has become so atheistic. People don't want to accept God. God. He's dead long time ago. But an intelligent assessment will be that he is not only he is there, he is the supreme controller, because he is the supreme proprietor. He is the supreme proprietor, therefore he is the supreme controller. And why he is the supreme proprietor? Because he is the supreme creator. He created everything. Has this world been created? Or it came out of some primordial soup? Did the creation come out of a primordial soup? Or a big bang? No. The intelligent conclusion is that must be created by someone. There is an anecdote in Newton's life. Newton was a theist, Sir Isaac Newton. He believed in God. Actually, early scientists, they all believed in God. It's only in the recent time that they rejected God. The early scientists, they believed in God. In the early days, everyone believed in God. Whether they had a clear understanding of him or not, but they believed that he is there, God is there. And so did Newton, although he was one of the most outstanding physicists of this world. But those days, these scientists, although they believed in God, their approach was, they knew that God created everything, God is maintaining everything. But they wanted to find out why things happen in a certain way. Like, as you know, that Newton saw that the apple falling from a tree. He was sitting there and just all of a sudden he saw an apple falling. And he wondered why all the time the apples fall from the tree. Why doesn't some apple go up? And probing into that led him to discover the gravitational pull. Gravity. Why everything falls down? Because there is a gravity, gravitational pull. And it's because of the gravity that everything falls. But sometimes some things go up also, but that's another consideration. Let's not get into that. Newton used to believe in God, and Newton had a friend, a philosopher, who did not believe in God. He was an atheist. And often they used to have arguments among themselves. Newton used to try to prove that God is there, but he used to try to convince or prove or establish that no, God is not there. There's nothing called God. So, one day, this friend of Newton came to his laboratory and he saw the model of the solar system. And different planets were moving around the sun in that model due to the arrangements of gears and levers. So he was amazed to see that, that how beautifully all these planets are moving around the sun. And so he asked Newton, "Newton, who made this?" Now he said, "Newton, oh, what a beautiful model you have created." Newton said, "Who said that I created it?" He said, "Then who did it?" He said, "No one did it." And he said, "Come on, tell me. You must have done it." He said, "No, I'm telling you, no one did it." So this way, Newton, he just kept on insisting that you must have made it, and Newton just kept on saying that no, no one did it, no one made it. Then finally, Newton told him, "Look, when I point out to this model and say no one made this, you don't believe in me. But when I point out to the night sky with innumerable stars and planets maintaining such a beautiful order, and I told you that there must be a creator behind that, you don't want to accept it." See what a big fool you are. And this principle actually applies in every respect around us. We don't have to go to this complex model of the solar system. If I just point out to your watch and ask you, "Did anyone make that? Did anyone make your watch?" Somebody must have made it. Although you may not have seen him making it, but you know that he made it. Now if somebody comes and tells you, "No, no, no one made it. There was a big bang and there came the watch." Will you accept it? Or if somebody comes and tells you, "Actually there was, all of a sudden this watch fell from the sky." Will you accept it? Or if somebody says that your grandmother was making a soup and from the soup came this watch, will anyone accept it? And doesn't it apply to everything? Not only the watch, your pair of your glasses, the ring that you're wearing, or the bangle that you're wearing. Everything is made by somebody. Nothing comes out of accident. So now if we consider, let's go even further. Did someone make this building? Must have. Did someone make the roads in Sydney City? Did someone establish the electric supply system? And this way we go further and further and further. Did somebody make this planet? Did somebody make this universe? Now we may not know who he is, but at least the intelligent conclusion will be, yes, somebody must have made. Now if we want to know about him, yes, we can get the information about him. Just like you may not know who made your watch, but then you come then when you go to your the manual that came to your watch, there's a description of the company that made that watch, where it is established, who is the proprietor of that company, and if you go to the internet, you can get the whole history of that company. Right? So, similarly, if we want to know about God, informations are available. And we have to receive those informations from a authentic source, bona fide source. And the bona fide source the bona fide sources are the scriptures. And when, especially when we approach the Vedic scriptures, we get a very, very clear understanding. Very clear understanding. Everything is presented in a very scientific way. This Krishna consciousness movement is a scientific process. Scientific process means? What is the definition of science? What is science? What is the definition of science? Looks like she raised her hand. Yes?
To understand the difference between material and spiritual and the control of it.
Okay, and?
To see the truth.
Yeah. And?
Knowledge about something.
Knowledge about something. Yeah?
The understanding of how something works.
The understanding how something works. Very good. Yes?
Something that can be proved experimentally.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So ultimately it comes to the point, science is experimentally verified facts. What do they do, the science? How is the scientific approaches made? First they have a hypothesis. Right? Hypothesis means some sort of concept that it may work like that. Maybe this is. Then what do? They make experiments on that, research. And when they, through their research, they can establish that as authentic, factual, then it becomes a thesis or a conclusion. Fact, scientific fact. Also, as you have mentioned in different words, that science is systematic study of a subject. When you systematically study a subject, that is also called science. Like the study of alphabets is language. A systematic study of words. Systematic study of words is a language. Systematic study of music. Systematic study of energy is physics. Systematic study of number is mathematics. So these are all science. Systematic study of how the body functions is biology. So similarly, the systematic study of the soul. Is there something called soul? Do you believe in soul? Huh? Now what it is? We say everybody accepts the existence of soul. But what is it? Is there any department in any university that systematically studies the soul? The only university that systematically studying soul is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So if you want to know about the soul, then come to this very, very special university. And you can get admitted here without any test. And you can study in this university without paying anything. The only thing that you have to do is you have to abstain from 4 undesirable activities. If you want to get admitted in this university, then you are expected not to eat meat, fish, eggs, non-vegetarian foodstuff is rejected. If you want to get admitted in this university, although it's not a boarding school, although it's not a residential university, but these are the things that you have to, even though you may stay at home, but these are the conditions that you have to fulfill. You can't take any intoxication, not even tea or coffee, because that's also intoxicants. And why not intoxicants? Because intoxicants, they mess up your brain. Intoxicants just destroys your brain cells. Intoxicants are poison. Now, is it good to take poison, even if it's in a small dose? No, it's not good. Therefore, intoxicants shouldn't be taken. You should not indulge in illicit relationship, because illicit relationship degrades ourselves. Therefore, should be rejected. And you should not take to cheating. You should not gamble. Gambling means, gambling is cheating, falsity. So these are the four things that you have to follow. The four activities that you must abstain from. And then if you really want to get admitted and become a regular student, then you have to wear tilak on your forehead, just to identify, this is the uniform of the university. Tilak and kantimala. Then you are a full-fledged student of this university. And in this university, the teachers will teach you in a very, very systematic way, following a very precise syllabus. You start off with Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's the basic study. And there are, of course, some other books that are subservient to those study course. And then when you complete Bhagavad Gita, then here the next advanced course is Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada used to say that Bhagavad Gita is the ABC, well, undergraduate. Then Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the PhD. So in this way you study this very, very special subject. The subject about the science about the spiritual reality, under the guidance of very qualified teachers. And the university has been established by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he has given hundreds of books. Those books have been translated into practically all different languages of this world. So anybody can study this subject. And when you study this subject, then what happens? What is the result of studying this subject? The result of studying this subject is, first consideration is that you become free from suffering in this material nature. When the prisoner does the right thing, then what happens? Does the prisoner get punished? No. The first thing is that he is not punished anymore. And then he gets facilities. Very wonderful facilities from the prison authorities because he is doing the right thing. He is rewarded. And then the prison authorities use him as a role model. Tells other prisoners that, look, be like him. And then they use him also to teach other prisoners. And then finally, if he has been a real role model, then he is promoted. He is not only freed from the prison, from his imprisonment. Harry Paul, do you want to give the class? What's up? And then and then he's not only freed from the prison, but he is taken to the prince, to the king's palace, and he is given the opportunity to live with the king, because the king is so pleased with him that the king simply wants to keep him with him all the time. So this is the reward that you will receive by studying in this university. And as I didn't mention, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, that one consideration is that he will immediately, as he starts his course, he immediately attains immortality. That is the reward. He becomes immortal. How? Because he understands that he is a spirit soul, and a spirit soul never dies. So, you are, let's consider it this way, simple calculation. You are a spirit soul, aren't you? How many of you think that you are a spirit soul? So you are a spirit soul. And a spirit soul never dies. How many of you accept that? A spirit soul never dies. So you are a spirit soul never dies. So you will never die. Or let me ask you, will you ever die?
No.
Why the response is so...
No.
Will you ever die?
No.
Wonderful. It's a very simple conclusion, isn't it? So the first thing that we receive, we achieve, being involved in this study course, that immediately we achieve immortality. Then the consideration is that, but Maharaj, someday we'll all die. Who will die?
Body.
The body will die. Are you your body?
No.
Sure?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. So this is how wonderful this subject matter is. The perfect subject to be studied under the perfect arrangement in the most perfect spiritual institution, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Like, now the consideration is, why don't people come then? So many people are going to so many different universities, and in order to get admission, they are undergoing so many difficulties. They have to prepare themselves for so long. They have to pay their so much money to get admitted. But in this university, why so few people are coming? The reason is that in order to study this subject, one has to be qualified. This qualification is actually his internal state of consciousness or his attitude towards life. If one wants to study simply to get a job, they will not be interested in this subject. Because if you study in ISKCON University, you won't get a good job. But the thing is that when you get admitted in ISKCON, you already get a good job. But the thing is, unless and until one has quite developed intelligence, you will not be able to understand that. When one gets admitted to ISKCON, he actually gets a job of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He becomes employed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But not that everybody can see that. They cannot see God, therefore they can't believe that they actually have been employed by God. Whereas when somebody goes to some company, and it is tangible, it's visible, they can see that company is there and they offer him, well, you'll get so much money every month, these are the fringe benefits, and so he gets a very clear understanding of what will be the reward for his service to that company. But when one joins ISKCON, he actually becomes employed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead considers him to be his employee. Now, does Supreme Personality of Godhead pay for your service? He does. Actually, even when you don't serve him, he pays you. Isn't it? He's paying you. Practically, he is taking care of you all the time. Consider how much food you have consumed. Now, who supplied those food? The Supreme Personality of God has supplied that food. How much water you drank? Who supplied that water? Who made this wonderful arrangement of supplying a water supply? From the ocean, which is actually the useless source of water. It's useless because the salty water, neither you can drink it nor you can use it for irrigation. But what he did, from that useless source of water, he has. The batteries?
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So from that ocean, from the ocean, from the useless source of water, he distilled the water, right? What is the process of distillation? You evaporate, right? And then you make it condense, right? So he made the water to evaporate with the rays of sun. And the water vapor then formed the clouds. Then with the wind, clouds were carried to different parts of the world. And then the condensation took place, and the water came down in the form of raindrops. And that filled up all the reservoirs, rivers, lakes, ponds, wells. And so in this way, he took care of the pure water supply. Now, more important than water is actually air, oxygen. Now, who is anyone supplying the oxygen? We are taking oxygen, giving out carbon dioxide. If that process continued, what would have happened? Someday, the whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide, isn't it? But did it happen? Why not? Yes, because of the trees and the plants. We are taking oxygen, giving out carbon dioxide. And the trees are taking carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen. And as a result of that, there is no dearth of oxygen for us and carbon dioxide for the trees and plants. Now, did it happen by chance or accident? Or did somebody make that arrangement? Did somebody make that arrangement?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes.
Who did it?
Krishna.
Why did he do that?
Because he loves
Krishna. Okay. Yes? Because Krishna loves us. Krishna cares for us. Now, a person who is taking care of us in such a wonderful way, even when we are not submitting ourselves to him, can you imagine how he will take care of us when we surrender to him? Submit to him and render service unto him. Now, is it a good move to take employment at Krishna's divine institution? Yes. So Krishna is taking care of us, and when we surrender ourselves to Krishna, we can't even imagine how he is going to reciprocate. So that is the benefit of surrendering ourselves to his lotus feet. Others may not recognize, others may not understand how wonderful the benefit is, or benefits are. But when we submit, when we surrender, and when we become engaged in serving Krishna, then we get to see it ourselves. The first thing that happens is the hearts become filled with joy. Then there is no more anxiety. We become completely free from anxiety. We become completely free from fear. And our hearts become filled with an inconceivable joy. And that that makes our conviction firm and established. So this is how this process actually works. In order to understand what happens when we surrender to Krishna, we have to surrender ourselves to Him and experience it ourselves. If you are hungry and if somebody else eats the food, will you understand what it means to eat? You have to eat yourself. You are hungry and you have to put the food in your own mouth. Right? That trouble you have to take. You put the food in your mouth and then the rest will automatically happen. The only thing we have to do is take the food and put it in our mouth. And the mouth will chew the food, taste the food, and then it'll pass it down to the stomach. And when it goes to the stomach, then what happens? Then your hunger becomes satisfied and your body becomes strong. At that time somebody will need to come and tell you that, Prabhu, since you took some prasad, your hunger must have been satisfied and you are feeling the strength in your body. Is there any need for anyone to tell you that? No. You yourself have experienced it. Therefore, there is no need for somebody to come and tell you. That's why the sincere appeal is that please give it a try. Give this process a try. And see for yourself what happens when you practice this process. So, the way we apply for this job, the transcendental employment, what we have to do? We have to send an application. And how do you send your application? The sending the application is, you simply have to say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This will mean you are actually appealing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, please allow me to be engaged in your service. Please give me the employment. I need a job. I am unemployed. Or I am wrongly employed. I wanted to serve in order to enjoy, but I am suffering. I thought that my boss is my well-wisher and he is going to take care of me, but I realized that he is an exploiter number one. The money that he is giving me is simply his way of hanging a carrot in front of me to suck me dry, to drain out all the energy, drain out my blood. That's what is happening in this material age. So now I have realized it, and now I am not going to go to that bloodsucker anymore. I got the taste of nectar at your lotus feet, and I just want to drink that nectar continuously and offer myself completely unto your service. So please give me a job. And then how does Krishna reciprocate? Krishna's job is already there. Come. And now that you have become a good boy, now that you have surrendered yourself unto me, don't worry, I'll take care of you in all respects. All respects. Not only in this life, I'll take care of you life after life. Don't worry. In this life, I'll take care of you completely, and when you leave this life, when you finish this life, in your next life, you can't even imagine how wonderfully I'm going to reward you. Just have faith in me. That is the proposal that Krishna is making. You have surrendered unto me? Don't worry. I will take care of you in all respects. So that is how sublime our lives can become, through this very simple process of surrender. Is surrender difficult? Is it difficult to surrender? Not to surrender is difficult. Do you see two wrestlers fighting? One is trying to force the other one to surrender. And the other guy says, no way. I will defeat you. And they struggle. They try not to surrender. Both the parties are trying not to surrender. And then finally what happens? The stronger one wins. And when he wins, what happens? He pins the other wrestler down. He's back on the floor. And then he says, okay, surrender. Now, our situation, at least the wrestlers, it's a kind of wrestling match takes place between the equals. But we got into a kind of a wrestling bout with somebody who is far too strong for us. But still, we are so illusioned and so puffed up. We say, no way we are going to surrender. I'm going to fight. I'll defeat you. So we made a challenge against the Supreme Personality of God. Supreme Personality of God says, look, I'm not going to fight with you. I'll send my agent, the material nature, fight with her. First you fight with her. If you can win, then you can come and fight with me. So we got into a wrestling bout. And in that wrestling match, what happened? We struggled for so many years. I'm not going to surrender, I'm not going to surrender, I'm not going to surrender. But eventually what happens? Eventually what happens? We lie flat on our back. We are forced to surrender. At the time of death, we are forced to surrender. So since we have to surrender someday, then why not surrender now? Then we can spare this struggle. The struggle for being independent. The struggle to not to surrender. So the intelligent thing to do is to surrender. And especially when that person that we are trying to surrender to, he is the most powerful one, he is the most influential one, and at the same time he is our greatest well-wisher. So when you have somebody who is already our greatest well-wisher, who is the most powerful, why shouldn't we submit unto him? If I have a father who is most powerful or who is very influential and very powerful, then why shouldn't we surrender unto him? Because when you do that, then automatically we derive the benefit of his power and his influence. Now we all have a father, a supreme father, who is the most powerful, who is most influential, and he owns everything. So why should we not surrender unto him? We are not surrendering to our enemy. We are surrendering to our Father. So this is the science that is taught in the most prestigious university in this world, the University of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. How many of you got admitted to this university already? Okay, and how many of you want to be admitted in the university? Today? No one. That means you already got admitted. Huh? Thank you. Hare Krishna. So today I thought of singing one song. This is from the